Welcome to the weekly conversation with Maitreya room. The weekly conversations with Maitreya will be open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya. Do not be combative and do not ask questions which are not related to religions. These gatherings are to have a direct conversation with Maitreya, and so we can learn this new teaching and realize how this is indeed from God. Keep the questions on the highest level. Ask about the teaching and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. We will conduct these sessions as we do our regular live sessions during the week. The differences are we do not read Maitreya's teachings since Maitreya himself is here. And Maitreya is the person who will answer your questions in a conversational manner, not as a discourse as he did before. If you would like to listen to his previous lectures or satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room called Discourses by Maitreya, God's Word Continuously. If you would like Maitreya to answer your question as a discourse, request it to be answered that way, not in a conversational manner. Those who raise their hand will have priority and will be answered first. If there is no hand raised, the questions in text will be answered. If no hand is raised and there are no questions in text, Maitreya will explain the eternal divine path in our teachings. We will have this session for 1.5 hours.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Mishra Maitreya's conversation room. As usual, we will be here for an hour and a half, and we will discuss the mission of Maitreya and its revelation, and also welcome to the Feast of Tabernacle. We are in the middle of the yearly Feast of Tabernacle that we come together every year and celebrate one of the holiest days that God commanded that humanity follows. And usually this is a joyful occasion for the Mishra Maitreya and its member. We come together, we meditate, we chant, we dance, we eat together, we spend time to renew our relationships and become more familiar with the mission. There's a lot of lectures going on and many different divines give lectures in different topics, and if you are interested to know when the times of the lectures are, or you like to, you know, hear other parts of our schedules and what we do, you can go to our website, and in the first page there's an announcement about the Feast of Tabernacle, and you can go and see the list of the lectures and also know when other activities will be conducted in these 8 days that we come together. And of course, if you decided to come and join us next year, you will be closer here to everybody and to meet the members, and also feel the Spirit of God that is greatest in these 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacle. Actually, the Feast of the Tabernacle was the feast that the Hebrews were waiting for the Messiah to come. And usually, God pours His Spirit in this occasion in a greater degree. So, not only we are having this conversation today, it is a joyful occasion also for all our members. You are welcome to the conversation room of the Mission of Maitreya. We usually spend 2 hours to talk with each other about the mission. This is the revelation that has unified all religions of the world and opened the seven seals and have revealed the book which is sealed, was sealed with the seven seals, and that is the beginning of the end of the period in the scriptures, that the kingdom of God is coming to humanity, the golden age is approaching fast, and humans who have been waiting for this great revelation to come can come and now know what was in the book which is sealed with the seven seals, and recognize and realize the word of God and the Creator and the Spirit that is everything and is beyond, and recognize and realize we are one. We are all having the essence of God, and we are all can follow the eternal divine path which revealed in this book, and by following the eternal divine path we all can become united and recognize and realize that each religion have been revealed as a part of a greater truth. And when you put all these truth together, a path, a way is revealed to humanity, the fastest way to negate the ego, which is the only problem for human, and it stands between man and God. The ego is that identification, the realization that we are not what we identify ourselves with, our ego, but we are a part of the essence of the universe, and the essence of the universe is free of any identification or separation from any other parts, and therefore that is the first step in human progress toward the unity with God, and that is to realize that we are a part of the essence of the universe, which is God. Therefore we can, by understanding this, we awaken our spiritual forces. We realize that we are here not to get attached to this world, because this world is temporary. It never ever will give you the satisfaction, because whatever is temporary changes all the time. Of course we hang into, or human hang into, this external ever-changing universe, this manifestation, and they want to make it stay, you know, unchanging and constant forever, and it doesn't work. Just will not work. And the more they hang into it, the more they're attached to it, the more they want to keep everything the way they are, and the more they will become dissatisfied, the more they realize that things change, and as they change they become very unhappy, because they haven't really, you know, learned not to be attached to it, but be detached from it and be able to accept the situation of the creation as it is. They cannot see the reality of the world as it is. They want to change it the way they want this reality be, and that doesn't work. And that because it doesn't work, they become dissatisfied, unhappy, depressed, and they want to control. They want to control something that's uncontrollable. They want to be, they have the permanency in something which is not permanent, which is impermanent and ever changing. And when humans realize that and accept that that is the nature of the universe, that is the nature of creation, then they will look for something permanent, and the only thing is permanent is as essence. That is what we are. So they become more honest with themselves. And when they become honest with themselves, they realize that they have to accept the situation as it is. And after they reach a point, they accept, yes, that is the nature of life. That's the nature of this creation and external world. And therefore, we have to accept change and impermanency is a part of the universe, and therefore we have to forego being attached to this universe, create an environment that we all understand this and cope up with the changes in the community, which is called Communities of Light. And by doing that, of course, we can dance in the change together, help one another, and make the transition of this coming of the change very acceptable and less disappointing, because all the people in the community understand this truth, and in understanding this truth and knowing ourselves, we become brothers and sisters and accept one another as we are, and also progress at the same time, and we create a community that is based on the spirit and dharma or innate nature of every members, and the nature of mind, and the nature of the universe, and the nature of the creation. And therefore we will have environment that it takes care of our physiological and safety need. The rest is to meditate, awaken our spiritual forces, and create an environment that everybody can progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. Of course, creation of the Communities of Light is the message of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, God is trying to create a people, or choose a people who will accept him as the king, and his laws as laws, which these laws are the laws of dharma or nature, or as he said, innate nature of each person and the community and the earth and the universe. And by doing this, of course, we will create an environment that people will progress in a greater degree. So the first step in the eternal divine path, or the first seal, is awakening of the spiritual forces, knowing yourself, knowing the nature of the universe, knowing the plan of creation to bring everybody back to the Godhead. So that first step is called the mystical path, and that covers all the paths that teaches know thyself. There is only one God, and that God is a spirit. That God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. He is fine, formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And anything has taste, shape, or visible, and the material, feeling in it, it is not God. It is not ultimate. Don't get attached to it. It is not permanent. It is temporary. Anything as they appear to your senses is temporary. Therefore, you cannot rely on it. Go for the permanent. And permanency, of course, is the essence of the universe. And in going toward that essence, you also won't take everybody with you. And the next step is to create the Communities of Light. Communities of Light is based on the eternal divine path. And that eternal divine path is the revelation or the message of the mission of Maitreya that has been given to every human and man and woman and children to know that in order to bring peace and unity and accelerate human progress to the highest is this eternal divine path. First step, awakening of the spiritual forces. The second step is we want to create an environment that we can progress ourselves and also everybody else also progress. And in these communities, egos have to go. And that is the way to create Communities of Light. If we keep our ego, we cannot create Communities of Light, and the Communities of Light will not appeal to our ego as much, because the Community of Light will not tolerate disturbance in the environment that we want to bring peace and unity and beauty to it. So the second step is the message of the Old Testament. In the whole Old Testament, the message is God is trying to find a people, that they are the chosen, they are people who will bring that environment to them. Go ahead, Shirin.
Hello, Maitreya, and everyone. When you were talking about just now the essence of creation and the purpose of creation, it reminds me of a dialogue that we had in the Pow Talk room earlier this week, and I'm referring to a verse in the essence in Tablet 10. It's actually verse 5. It says, therefore, the process of creation is based on compassion, and the purpose of creation is to bring all lost souls to pure consciousness. We were speculating and in the room and talking about if we were to, during our progress of walking the eternal divine path, bring ourselves to compassion, would we then be in harmony or in dharma with the nature of the universe? That's my question.
Sure. First of all, we have to come to the same understanding what compassion means. You know, compassion is different than love. Why we don't say that the essence of creation based on love, not compassion. Love donates the feeling of we want to love someone unconditionally, and we absolutely are taken with that feeling of love. So we usually forgive any shortcoming our lover, in this case, essence or God has, and we will not also, you know, try to help them to come to pure consciousness. So there is a kind of acceptance in that relationship. And then, of course, the compassion means corrective love, means love with the ability to help our lover or the person we love also to progress with us. So that's what God has. God has love, of course, but also God has compassion. He created this universe with compassion because, as you remember, in the beginning there was chaos. The whole universe went out of the balance and created the darkness, and the darkness was upon the deep, and the creation was in that state of chaos. And God decided that that darkness has to go back, just like a diseased part of the body of God, that God wanted to heal it and bring it back to harmony. And therefore, He creates the whole universe. He sends His spirit into that darkness. He didn't have to. He didn't, you know, He was in a pure consciousness and absolute bliss Himself, but He has to come out and go to that darkness and walk the eternal divine path and remember how He is and how He can help other parts to go back to the balance. And therefore, that first step needed a real compassion to do that, that real feeling of want to help these parts to progress back to God. Therefore, we can see that the first step is to help them and correct them and bring them back to realizing that their ego is the problem. The I that separates man from the rest of the universe is the problem. And therefore, He created the whole thing and started with that feeling of corrective love. Of course, some people call them the tough love. Okay, you can say that, but of course, compassion is more than tough love. It is absolute love for lost souls that you want to help to go back to, you know, God. And Godhead, and remember where they came from. They are not separated ego from each other, and they are not here to destroy one another and be attached to this temporary world. They are here to recognize the permanency of God and become one with Him. And therefore we can see that that is why God created in that, He created the universe in that compassion. And if we can create that compassion in ourselves, yes, you actually will be in the harmony with God's will. Because then you realize and recognize that this external world is temporary, that the goal of life is to become divine. In order to become divine, you have to follow eternal divine path. You, in that way, you can help other people with compassion to go to God with you, and so you become actually a channel for God's original compassion, that He came to this universe to help the whole unit consciousness go back to God, to Godhead. So you become a worker, you become a channel, you become a person that is doing the will of God. What was the will of God? The will of God was to help the chaos to return to equilibrium and unity with the Godhead, and therefore you become the same being or the same feeling that God has. I have recognized that the universe is one. There is only one universe, and God is everything, and we are not separated by our egos, and I want everybody knows that. I meditate, I have HMR courses, I tell this to anybody who listens and tell them, look, God or universe or consciousness or whatever you want to call it, you know, God maybe is to some people, God is something, or some old man with a long, you know, beard sitting on a throne up there somewhere and always angry and telling you, you know, what to do and what not to do, but God to us means the state of consciousness and the creative force in the universe, and He is everything and everywhere and permeates everything in the universe. Therefore, it's not something that is sitting up there, but He is everything and everywhere. So with this recognition and realization, you want to, everybody knows that. Everybody, and because He is everything and beyond, you know, this creation, and the beginning of the universe was in equilibrium and absolute state of blissfulness and oneness, and the universe wants that state to return to the state it was, and you are a part of it, and the only way to go back is to help everybody else to go with you, then therefore the only way to go back is to get on with it, the nullifying path, become that, the feeling of the original creation, which was compassion. And compassion, of course, does not mean you love someone with no condition, and as you let them do whatever they want, without correcting them toward this recognition and realization that your goal, the goal of your life is to become divine. The goal of your life is to negate your ego. The goal of the life of humanity is to recognize this unity and come back together and realize that, yeah, God indeed is everything, and we should not separate ourselves by the separated ego. Then you really have a compassion for the whole humanity, and you will not be separated from anybody else. And that is compassion. That is real feeling that God has for His universe. I hope that answers your question. Of course, you have a follow-up, or you want to discuss that further, or you want to, you know, disagree with me or agree with me, but bring it in different way of looking at it. Go ahead, and if it answers your question, we continue then with our conversation here. So we can see that. Okay, go ahead, Shireen.
Well, I'm certainly not disagreeing with you, that's for sure. But we did have further conversation the other day in the Tao Talk room.
Sure, huh?
About the difference between compassion and unconditional love. And then when we sort of agreed about what compassion is, and as best we could, it then sort of went into judgment. How can we keep compassion and helping that corrective love to come through to not fall into judgment?
Yeah, well, that is when the concept of paravipras or innocent people or those who have progressed in the path come to play. That is where the story of Christ and the adulterous woman comes in. You know, the Mary Magdalene, you know, had done adultery, and the law in the Jewish community was to stone adulterous person. So he was a rabbi, he was a teacher, he was a person that they would look into, and they were all expecting that he will uphold the law. They came to him, and they knew he has a lot of different ideas than the regular Jewish people, and probably even they wanted to trap him, you know, because he's going to say something, and they can say, oh, you said something against the law. But he clearly told them, go ahead, if you want to do it, I'm not going to stop you. But the person who has no guilt and no sin, throw the first stone. It means only the innocent, the person who has overcome himself or herself, can judge. If we have not overcome yet, if we are not pure enough, if we are not a person that he who she has overcome himself or herself, how can we judge other people when we are guilty ourselves of even a slight of sin? So that is why they say the only person can really judge is God, because he is the innocent. And of course, we are in the process of creating godly people. We are in the process of that people will not sin, not because their hand is going to be cut off, and they will not sin because they are going to be a stone. They are not going to be adulterous because they are afraid somebody is going to stone them or somebody is going to judge them, but they are not going to do those things because God said don't do it, and because they want to purify themselves. And as we create more people that will create that characters of not sinning because they don't want it, they understand any action they do which is not according to the law of the universe will create a burden or a karma and will cut them off from the grace. So only if you experience grace once, you will do anything, stay in the grace, and when you want to stay in the grace, you will not sin. You will not do something that will cut you off. And that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. They came to the garden, they were in the garden, they were living in the grace, but they did something, God said, don't do this, and they did it, and they cut themselves from the grace. So the understanding now is, now in this era, is not to cut the hand of the thief, it is not to judge them harshly, but to teach them, look, if you sin, if you do something which is not according to the law, you will be cut from God's grace, you will be cut from the Spirit. So if you are a person who reached the point that you have no sin, then you can sit in the seat of judgment and say, yes, I know what sin is, and now you have sinned, and I am sinless, I can judge you. And therefore, you have the ability to judge because you have reached a point of the purity and innocence, and you will let the Spirit of God come through. And your judgment is not based on harshness, is not based on ego, is not based on your understanding, but it's based on a deeper level. So the only people can judge are those who have reached that state of absolute innocence. So that is why the laws of the Moses and the laws of Prophet Muhammad is not working for humanity. Because the people who are judging other people according to these laws, they are not pure themselves. How can they judge and stone a woman who is, probably in a very bad social situation, and they financially probably in need, and society is not helping them, and their physiological and system is not taking care of them. They are not educated. They are not taught the base of the religion and understanding of God. And then suddenly they do something that Quran or the Moses said you have to follow, and they do not consider the whole situation of the what happened to that person. So, but first of all, we have to create a just society. We have to create a society that people are educated about the dharmas and the laws of God, and their ability to realize and recognize it is a personal thing. You have to recognize that you should not sin. And then, of course, if somebody sins, the people who can judge them are the people, they have no sin themselves, and therefore they will not judge harshly, because they understand not sinning is not easy. A man is a very much under the control of their senses, and the lower the nature of man is, the lower of the person's ability to control their senses is, the less they can not sin. And therefore, you can probably forgive them, or somehow teach them, or guide them, or... But at the end, if they do not listen, and they are interruption in the society and in the community, you have to let them go, or at least do some actions that they might learn the lesson and turn around and start listening to God. So the only people or the only person can judge is the innocent and godly, and the people who have the ability to see the situation in whole. So in order to become a judge, you have to purify yourself. If you judge sometimes and you see your ego coming through, and your judgment is based on your ego, you have to stop. You know, you have to back off and say, well, this is really my ego. What is my ego wants? This is not what God wants. This is not what the innocent wants. Am I throwing the stone when I still have seen myself? So by realizing this, that a story is the one of the most wonderful way to show who can judge. And if humanity just recognize that the story and become innocent, then we have the innocent judges, and the judges that they will not judge harshly. But at the same time, if there is a person that is not really progressing or showing the willingness to change, and she or he can keep this disturbance to the society or the communities, they can also judge very harshly. Because they can just tell them, okay, you're just not listening, you're not progressing, we create a just environment for you, but you are bringing disharmony and harm to the society, therefore we are going to judge you harshly and implement the law of God. So it is not that compassion doesn't mean you're absolutely, it's not so different between compassion and love is. Love, probably you say, okay, no matter what you do, I'm going to love you. You know, go ahead, disturb the society, disturb the community, disturb the, you know, peace, bring disunity and all the backbiting and, you know, all those things to the society or the community. I'm going to just love you, go ahead and do whatever you want. But compassion says, no, I'll try to do my best. I'll give you all the opportunity possible for you to progress, and to guide you and teach you and help you and everything. But at the end, if it is not happening, you're not getting it, then you might just say, okay, you're cut off. That's it. You know, there's a point that the judge can be very harsh. But in the beginning, all the opportunities should be given to a person to redeem themselves and understand the teaching and become a productive member of the society, or a productive member of the community, harmonious in the community, and all that. And that is why we have to create that kind of judges, the judges that they can do all those things. I hope that answers your question again, Shirin. If Now, follow up, go ahead, raise your hands. And we have a question, I think, there. How do we differentiate between compassion and sympathy? Okay. Sympathy is a feeling of being sorry for someone. And when we are sorry for someone, they have not really sinned, but they have put themselves in a situation that they made their life harsh and uncomfortable, or they are in pain, or they are not in a state that we can say, well, they are in a good shape. So we create sympathy for them. Compassion is not only you create sympathy and feel bad for them, but you actively become engaged in helping them to alleviate or eliminate that situation they are in. So compassion have a component of action to it. So you really want to take a personal interest in the person and help them out. But sympathy means, oh, I sympathize with you, and sometimes you just don't do anything about it. Or you can do anything about it. You sympathize with somebody, even the person who is a judge, and judge that person harshly, he might even sympathize with the other person. You know, you feel bad about, you know, why can't they make it? What can they change? Why can't they hear your words that you are trying to help them out with a situation, and you try very hard not to get to the point that you judge them harshly, you sympathize with them, but at the same time you have no choice but at the end make that final decision or step and judge harshly. So compassion has a active point in it. That's why it's more important be compassionate than love someone or sympathize with the situation. That sympathy really doesn't have much of a action to it. It is a very passive kind of a engagement with some situation. But compassion is more active way of feeling for other people or for the universe. I hope that answers the question. If it doesn't, go ahead and elaborate more on that. Of course, you always can take the mic by raising your hand and coming to the mic and asking the questions you might have. Of course, these are the very questions are very going to the more nitty-gritty of our teachings, and which is good, and we will go to this point, and we will think about the meaning of the word and the word we use. Also, it's one of the another thing you can meditate on, the word we use and in the society, you know. If you, in a conversation, somebody says, I really sympathize with this situation, but he's not going to do anything. It's just a sympathy. It's a message of, really, I don't want to get involved, you know. I'm just going to look at it and feel bad about it, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Or I say, well, I love this situation. It means that the situation is good. It's really working and everything is fine, and I love it. It's very good. No problem. I don't have to do anything about it. But I have a compassion for the whole situation of humanity. They're in war, destruction. There are so many bad things going on with them. They're so separated from each other. And all these religions are saying different things. And now we know the eternal divine path unify them. I have so much love and compassion, corrected love for humanity, that I am willing to give up everything in my life and go and preach this unity of the religions to everyone, so they can recognize and realize where they are at in the eternal divine path. See, you sympathize with the whole earth, But I'm not going to do anything about it. I sympathize with the situation of people in Africa, but I'm not going to do anything about it. But some person says, no, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to go there and help them, bring me this medicine to them, or I'm a doctor, I'm going to go and join them, forget about making a lot of money here in the United States, I'm going to just go there and dedicate my life to people who are much have greater need than, you know, the people they already have everything. So that is compassion, you know. He might not even love them, you know, they might even seem to him dirty or downtrodden and all that, but he feels so deeply affected with the situation that he is willing to go and help out. So we can see the difference between here, how the compassion and love and the sympathy is. And it's very interesting meditation. If we can meditate on those words that we use daily, what really I mean, you know, and I sympathize with this situation, but I really don't want to get involved. But when I say, actually, when you have compassion, you don't even say it. You have an action. You take charge. You take an action toward eliminating that uncomfortable situation. But of course, the greatest way of doing all this thing is to recognizing that what is the goal of life? The goal of life is to become divine, and the way to become divine is to follow the eternal divine path. Eternal divine path is the first step, covers all the mystical path, awakening of your spiritual forces, deeply meditating, understanding your attachments and desires and wants and longing and cravings and hanging into things and you know, fear and all that, and coming to that conclusion that you overcome all of those. The second is, of course, you want to create a community of light, a community that people are godly and wants to follow eternal divine path. You sacrifice in these communities. Of course, the community, the theme of the community was in the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament is about the people that God chose to become His chosen people and will follow His laws. And the third level is sacrifice. That's what Christ did. Christ sacrificed Himself for His ideal, and that was His message. And of course, after that, surrender and submission was the message of Islam, and that is the highest spiritual realization. Then you know the will of God and you surrender and submit to it absolutely, completely, unconditionally, and therefore you become a channel or a pure way of bringing God to everybody else. And by doing that, of course, you and God become one. What is the goal of life? The goal of life is to become divine, become one with God. And that is the way to do it. Become surrender and submit to His will. And of course, you become a universalist, to shatter all narrowness of the mind and separateness from every part of the universe. You expand your mind. You do not look at other people as different than yourself. You look at them as the essence of God. There is no separation between any religions, any people, any race, any gender, any nationality. And therefore you shatter all the narrowness of the mind. Such a person is called an elect. The person that God has been talking in every religion and the scripture as my chosen people. The elect. The people who have been following the eternal divine path in many lifetimes. And in this lifetime, of course, they see the truth of all religions. This revelation is the revelation of the seven seals. Fulfilled all the prophecies and have brought the unity of our religion, and now is calling of humanity to come and see how God has been sending this revelation one by one as the religions of the world, and now He has put them all together. And not only that, He has revealed this eternal divine path to you so you can progress in an accelerated way to pure consciousness or back to Godhead. And of course, you can't go there because you have to follow and help everybody else go to at the same time, to that state at the same time. So that is why we are reaching out to humanity and asking humanity to go to our website to read our teachings. They are all given to you freely. There is no string attached. You can go there, find it, read it, understand it, then follow it. Then, of course, you have the choice of following it individually. The moment I give this message to you, the moment you read about it and all the money back, the moment you see this revelation, I am done with you. We are finished with you. It is between you and God to see how God has been guiding humanity to this point. And now it is you who decide what is the next step. Some decide, well, that is not good for me. They go in the website for a couple of minutes, look here and there and say, yeah, no, that's not good for me. You can stay in that website for a year, for a lifetime, and still find deeper beauty and revelation in it, and still you will progress in all levels. And therefore, with a couple of minutes of being in the website and say, oh, I find it, you know, not interesting on all that, it's not going to work. Okay, what's your question? Siberian cat. Go ahead and either type or raise your hand and come to the mic and ask your question. I hope it's about the mission of Maitreya and Eternal Divine Path or our revelation or some spiritual questions, which is kosher and good and wholesome, and we bring the energy and the things to in a higher level. If it is, go ahead and ask your question in the type it, or we can come and ask your question. So we can see that, are you Jesus Christ? Okay. Well, I have a stagnita in my body, and we believe that it is the same a spirit that brings the revelation to humanity all through history. If you study our teaching, it talks about the first begotten Son of God. It was the Spirit of God which went through the eternal divine path, its very beginning. So that a spirit eventually returned to God and became the light, and that's why God said, and there was light. And that became the first teacher, that it became the spirit that came to earth again and again after that first success in following the eternal divine path. And he became the first begotten Son, the Messiah, the Spirit of God, which comes to earth and brings the revelation and the prophecies to humanity at all this time. So we can see that that spirit came also to Christ. Of course, if you study our teaching again, there is no J in Hebrew. Therefore, there is no name by Jesus in who found the Christianity. And of course, in Christianity, you are saved by his name. And if the Christian even realized that simple truth, that they even don't know what his real name is, then they will realize that their religion have really gone way, way, way from the truth that Christ brought to them. So the Christ, if you understand his teaching absolutely, you understand our teaching, you see it is a continuation of the same revelation that God said will be sent seven of them, and Christ's teaching was the third one. Prophet Muhammad was fourth, Bab and Baha'u'llah was fifth, and another Marga or Baba was sixth, and this is the seventh. And when the seventh revelation or seventh angel comes, the mystery of God will be finished. Therefore, all these spirits are the spirit of God. Therefore, yes, this spirit is the same spirit with Christ brought to humanity, and therefore again the mouthpiece of God has returned to humanity and preaching this message to man. Of course, this time everybody can hear us. As it's been prophesied, every man can see us, every man can hear us all over the world. None of you are in here in this room that I'm giving this sad song, but you can hear me. You can see also me in the website if you like. You can, there's a picture of me, and even we can put a camera here in this computer and everybody could see me at the same time. So the prophecy of all these sayings are fulfilled. Of course, it never, the prophecies, fulfillment of the prophecies and the message is never is the same that human expects. Jewish were expecting Christ to come and make them the elect and chosen one, and it didn't happen. So they get upset with him and crucify him and kill him and say, yeah, you're not saying that is what actually ego is. Ego is what we expect the life to be. What we expect, things happen according to what we expect. So we can say that their expectation wasn't fulfilled. It never was. Bob came and brought the new teaching, and Muslim didn't choose accepted him because he was saying differently. He was talking about universalism and unity of our religion, and that was not what Muslims were waiting for. Of course, every religion thinks when the Messiah comes, he's gonna make them the chosen people, and when Messiah comes, actually Christ told to Jewish people that you're finished, you're done, the kingdom will be taken away from you and give you another first people. And that wasn't a very nice thing to say for the people who expect the Messiah can say, no, you are the chosen people. And therefore we can see that humanity's idea of Messiah and God and the way God works is absolutely different than how he works. But he already said in his scripture, there is going to be seven angels, seven revelations, seven truths will come, and nobody has the whole truth until the seven angels come. When the seven angels come, only then and only then the whole truth will be revealed to humanity. And now it happened. This revelation is the seven seal, seven revelation. And now the whole truth has come to humanity. And if human wants to know the truth, that's it now. Humanity is resisting us. Again, they're saying no. You have to make Muslim the priorities and over everybody. Jews say no. You have to follow the Torah and say what we say. We are the chosen one. And Christians say no. We are the one that have the only truth. We are the only way. You have to follow and say what we want you to say. But Christ said no. All of you are a part of a greater truth. You are each a part of the seventh revelation. And each angel or prophet brought you a message, and you made a religion out of it, and add a lot of dogma to it, and now you think, you know, you have the truth. But that's not my truth. My truth is in your, you know, scriptures. In this revelation, I will send seven truths. Okay? I will send seven revelations. It says, Muslims say that the Quran is from God, and replaces the Bible as the last book. That, what do you say about that? Well, I say even Quran was not written down. It was orally given to Muslim, and when Prophet Muhammad passed away, there was more than one Quran, and there was many versions of Quran was going around. And actually, it wasn't even written, and it was memorized with a bunch of people. And in one of the wars in Yemen, actually, many of them got killed. And that was when the Khalifa or the leader of the Muslim realized, wow, the Quran is going to be destroyed. It's gonna, if these people are going to die, who's going to remember what Muhammad said? And he said, okay, let's bring all these verses that you guys remember, together and put the Quran together. But then they realized, wow, there are a lot of people have different remembrance of what Prophet Muhammad said. And what, which one is the word of God? Is the one that remembered saying this way or the one saying that way? And therefore we can see there was absolute interference of the human element into that revelation. And at the end, two verses came up that had followings, and those two groups actually had a big fight over which verse is the corrected one, and eventually the Khalifa or the leader had to make a decision and say, okay, we will accept this one and we reject the other one. And by doing that, of course, you know, we can see it was an arbitrary decision. It was a decision of a human who made for that acceptance of the which verse is Quran. So we can see that we clearly can see Quran is not, you know, absolutely not affected with human interference. So which one is the correct Quran? Therefore Muslims have to realize that, to recognize that their revelation was the fourth revelation, not the last revelation, not the seventh seal or seventh revelation. Even Quran, Prophet Muhammad clearly says he is not the last prophet, because he says he did not reveal everything, he passed over a lot of it. So if you keep asking good questions, I don't have to continue talking. And so if you don't want to see me get tired, you know, ask good questions. Okay, it says what? But Jesus is the English word for asub. Okay, well, yes, I have heard that before. It is a long discussion about how his name really was Yeshua. And then in the transliteration and words, eventually it changed to Jesus. But their explanation is twisting Yeshua into become Jesus, which is a very hard thing to do, and they never succeed. And besides, the word Yeshua and Yahweh is driven from the sacred name of God, and really the true sacred of God, name of God, cannot be pronounced, cannot be uttered in the external world. That is why Hebrews, if they uttered it, that was taking the name of the Lord in vain, and David actually was stoned. Therefore, the true name of God cannot be uttered, and it is not Yeshua or Yahweh. Yeshua actually means he who saves, to Yahweh, and that means the Son of God, the first begotten Son. And Yahweh, of course, they say is the name of God, but in truth, the true name of God is something that cannot be pronounced utterly, and actually that is the name that we reveal to our members in four initiation and three introductory initiation. So that explanation also is not correct and is wrong. And if you understand the true name of God, you understand that his name never was Jesus. Therefore, we cannot go with that explanation at all. That is not his name. True name of Christ is within you. It is the vibration that can be invoked. He actually gave that name to his disciple. That is why they could heal. That's why the man came and told him, you know, my daughter is sick. Just say the word and he will be healed. Because he has such a great faith on Christ, that he said, just say it, you don't even have to come, just say it, and or that man who came and said the same thing, and Christ complied, and his servant was healed. So we can see that Christ was saying a word that people couldn't utter it. And that is why when disciple of Christ was healing people, a man came and said, "I pay you, give me the word." And they didn't give it to you. That shows that they didn't heal in the name of Jesus, the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. If they had said, we heal in the name of Jesus, he didn't have to pay to know what the word is. They wouldn't tell him. It was within them. They knew it, but they couldn't utter it. They couldn't give it to him, even if they wanted to. So he couldn't buy it because he couldn't hear it. If they had uttered it, "I will, you know, heal in this name and that name," why did he have to pay for something they were saying it out loud? So we can see that. That's why also Christ said, "You will come to me and say, 'I heal in my name, in your name,' and I say, 'I know you not.'" You know, because it's not my name, it never was, it never will be, you know. Well, every prophet thought that they are the only way, they are the mouthpiece of God, and no one goes to the Father but through them. Prophet Muhammad said the same thing. Allah or God, Muslim God said, "Listen to the prophet. Whoever, whatever he says is my word. Follow his words because I am the person behind him and saying the thing that is from me. Therefore, follow it." So in that moment, in that place, Prophet Muhammad was the only way. No one goes to the Father but through him. Same thing about Bob and all the prophets. So you have to expand your vision. You have to expand yourself beyond, you know, your religion or your understanding or your preacher, and go to your scripture. In the Revelation clearly it says there's going to be seven angels, there's going to be seven revelation. Of course nobody knew the meaning of it. God sealed them. Then God gave the vision of the end time to Daniel. He sealed the vision to the end time. He sealed the revelation of the revelation to humanity. He absolutely kept it secret, and nobody knows. That's why he said in chapter 10 verse 7, God is a mystery and this seventh angel comes. It means no one has the truth and they understand the meaning of the scriptures until the revelation of the seven angels come. The book sealed with the seven seals are open, and nobody can open that book but the lion of the tribe of Judah, which means that he is from the lineage of King David and Adam. And all these things has happened, and we now see the revelation of the seven seal is here. The meaning of God's word are revealed in these satsangs or discourses and our scripture, which called the holiest of the holies, the last testament. And now is the whole picture, the whole revelation is given to humanity. Now if you understand our teaching, you understand what Christ was talking about. Yes, he is the only way, because all the prophets of God are the mouthpiece of God and are the way back to God. And if you understand them, then you open yourself to the revelation of Jews. You open yourself to the revelation of the mystical path. You open yourself to the revelation of Baba, and of course this mission. And then you can see and expand yourself and see God in everything and everyone, and see how wonderful a God he is that has been sending out his revelations all this time. And you will free yourself from the narrowness of the mind and become one with God's scripture. The scripture also says that don't believe the people who claim to be Messiah. Absolutely, you should not believe anybody who claims to be Messiah. You know, test the spirit, see if they have fulfilled the prophecies. The amount of the prophecy is fulfilled with this mission is they more than ever anybody, any prophet or any Messiah have ever fulfilled. Then see if he is the person who claiming that fulfilled the prophecy, is the tribe, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Is really God said he is the only one, no one else. No guru, no teacher, no mullah, no rabbi, no father or son or anybody can open this book but the lion of tribe of Judah. That's the only person can do it. So God has given you absolutely all the testing you can have on this mission, and realize and recognize that, oh yeah, he has foretold this thing is going to happen, and it's exactly happened. Not to glorify me, but to glorify God, that he has prophesied this thing is going to come, and they have. And I am his mouthpiece, and he has prophesied that this will come, and when you see that, you clearly will see, yes, this one is the correct one, the truth one, the real one. Not anybody who come and say I'm Christ can be chosen and accepted as Christ, but only the person who has fulfilled the prophecy, has all the credential and backing of God's blessing for what he says or what he do. Therefore you have to go search, not ask. And that's all also in our website, is all provided for humanity to go look and test this spirit in a highest level, and then eventually utter, yes, it is. Indeed, my Tia is saying the truth. He is the mouthful of God, and he is the way and the truth, and no one goes to the Father but through the seventh seal and this revelation, and therefore you become a worker for God and his mission, and you will tell everybody else the same thing. I have found the Messiah. I have found the revealer of the seventh seal, and he who has opened the book will have been sealed with the seventh seal. We are at the end time. We are in the time that God said will come, and the kingdom of God will be brought to humanity. So I agree with you. Absolutely, you should not believe in anybody teaches anything, but you have to understand this truth, knock, ask, and go and find the truth in a deeper level, and understand that there is no other way. The only way is the way of God, eternally one path, this revelation, the seven seals following of it, and no matter how you don't like it or doesn't appeal to your ego, or you still believe in your little religions, or actually not the little religion, all religions are huge and beautiful, are from God, but in a greater degree, eternal divine path and this revelation is much huger than any other revelation before it. If you recognize that, then you will expand yourself to this new reality. So we can see that all the credentials have been given here, all the truth has been revealed. Now humanity can say, I didn't know. I just had a partial of the whole revelation, a part of the whole revelation. Therefore, I didn't know that. No, there is more to it than my own little religion or my understanding, and I don't want to give up my understanding, I don't want to give up my religion, I don't want to give up my culture, I don't want to give up my ego. And of course, it's the hardest thing for humanity to give up their ego. we want to hang into our egos, because that is the only reality we know, and we are afraid to let go of. And of course, we suffer for it. So again, this is the revelation of the unification of our religion. This is the revelation of the seven seals, and this is the beginning of the end time. This is the time that God said will come. It has come. It shows God exists for sure, because he said he's going to do all these things, and he has done it, and this is time for his judgment. You see, God has been a compassionate God. He coped us and kept up with humanity for the last 12,000 years. He did not destroy them. He did not judge them. He guided them, sent them prophets. He told them how they can go back to God, and he tried to make them understand. But at the end, he has to make a decision. He has to bring the judgment to the end time of fruition, and those who have progressed and reached to a point of becoming familiar with this revelation and accepting it and seeing the Word of God in it, and will come and join and become one of the 144,000 elect, and millions of billions of others who also will understand this teaching in a deeper level, they will be saved. This is those who will not, and they hang into their little religion and revelation and culture and preachers. They are people that are resisting God, and they will be judged harshly. And that is compassion. You know, that is the way of God. He warns you, he teaches you, he cope up with you and keep up with you, but he also tells you, follow these things. I want you to progress. I want you to get rid of your ego. I want you to become a son of God. But if you do not, eventually I make a judgment on you. So God is compassionate God. He has been guiding humanity for the last 12,000 years. He was telling them, there is an end time going to come. The judgment day will come. The time of sundering will come. He has warned humanity for 12,000 years. And now it has. We can see he has said that. He said there is going to be a seventh angel, the seventh revelation, who will reveal the whole truth, who will unify all religion. It is been sealed in the visions of the great prophets like Daniel. The vision has been given to him. He actually, when he received the vision, it was so terrible, end time was so terrible, he got sick for 3 days. And he couldn't absolutely feel good at all. But God said, seal the end time. And we can see that the end time is approaching fast. And those who have been called for this mission and see this truth clearly have a great responsibility to reach out to their family, their friends, their relatives, their nations, their fellow, you know, religious people, and tell, stop people, you are following just a part of the truth. You are following dogmas, you are following man-made things. The Word of God is involved in this revelation, and it clearly tells you that your religion is a part of the truth, and no other revelation or prophet could have given you the whole truth, because it will not be revealed until the seventh angel come. Even those who believe that the prophet is the last prophet easily can say, see in the book that it says I didn't reveal everything. And by recognizing, realizing this, we have to reach out. We have to tell humanity knows, let humanity knows what is happening here. This is greatest thing has happened to humanity since the beginning of creation. Actually, this is the only time that the whole universe rejoiced when the book sealed with the seventh seal was opened, and eventually the truth is revealed to humanity. And now it has. It has revealed to humanity that every revelation of God is a part of the truth. So the religion has a message, and the message is in the door, the holiest of the holies, the last testament. The message is in the greatest sign, which crystallizes this teaching and brings the truth to you very simple and crystallized and visualized way. You don't have to, you know, have a statue to worship. You can replace them with the greatest sign, and recognize and realize the work of God in a much deeper level than anybody knew before. Actually, if you know though and are teaching, you know the truth of God better than anybody else on earth. You know it better than rabbis, you know it better than mullahs, you know it better than Brahmins, you know it better than anyone else who is in any religion. And then you might be able to go and help them out, to recognize and realize where they fall, where their religion fall in God's plan, where they are at. Who is the real chosen one? Are really Jews the chosen one? Or God meant the paravipras, means the people who have gone through the first five steps of it and all the ones that. Are the Muslims have the last word? Or the seventh prophet have the last word? Are the Christians only way? Or all the messiahs or prophets are the only way at the time they brought their revelation? These things are been answered, you know. And is this the Trinity or unity? Is anything, any question has been answered for last 25, 23, 24 years since this mission has started, has been answered. There is no question which has not been answered. A few questions probably left, which is really that more in going to the detail of the same thing, but the question unanswered. And I am done with this mission. It is given to humanity. I will repeat it over and over and over while I have the breath, breathing or breath in my chest, and will continue with it. But the truth is, the revelation, the whole truth has been given. Now is the call for you all go and preach this to other people. I'm done with all the people who have been called for, and now you are the preachers and teachers that know the truth. You know the greater truth on earth. No, anybody out there will claim they know the truth, they don't. Because God said he's going to be a mystery until this revelation comes. Of course, it was a mystery to me when I was growing up. When I received it, it wasn't any mystery anymore. It answered all my questions and satisfied all my longing for knowing the truth. Now, it is given to you to satisfy yourself with it. Drink of this wine, which brings the ecstasy of God and knowing that you are a chosen person to be a part of God and his revelation and his work, and therefore be your best to be the best you can in this endeavor and become a soldier of God. Come, join, and reach to humanity in a greater degree. Of course, God said he's going to do it. I'm not counting anybody. I'm just counting on God that is going to do it. You know, it's not the doer. I am not the doer. You are not the doer. God is the doer. But become a channel of God. Become a pure channel for his revelation and humanity. I guess this session is becoming the repetition of the teaching and a call to the elect to come and see that wonderful truth. I sincerely want to know if the mission teaches the resurrection of Christ. Okay. Do you believe in the resurrection of Christ? And was Jesus born of a virgin? Okay, these are the controversial old questions that really in the final analysis doesn't matter. You know, I know probably you are a Christian and you think, you know, it is the most important thing or the question, but the most important question about Christ was, what did he teach? What he brought to humanity? What was his message? Those things, you know, are important in the sense that it was prophesied that he will be crucified. He surely There is no argument that he was put on cross and was nailed on the cross, but what happened after that, during a lot of controversial revelation and ideas from different religions and groups, and at the end, what did he say? What was the message? What he did? The messenger or the Christ comes to earth to bring a message to humanity. If you understand his message, then you understand why he came. Just a second, I have to take some water here. Yeah, I guess my throat got pretty dry here. We have a very dry weather in this area of the United States, and so sometimes your throat is really get dry. So we can see that the most important is what was his message, what he brought to humanity, you know. Was he resurrected? Was he dead when they crucified him? He wasn't dead. It seems to them he was dead, or he really was dead, and they put him in the thing. He was risen, and so what? God can do whatever he wants. Of course, he can raise the person he wants, you know. But what's the significance of it? Because he's risen, then I'm saved. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to listen to him. What he said. What his message was. Then I'm missing the point. Why did he come then? He could have just come from the sky and say everybody, you know, bow and be good, and they were good. It happened. It will not happen. Okay. The most important thing came to bring to him. If we understand that, we understand his message, and also God has some revelation. Third, it was one of them. He's not the final one. Okay. But God and the scriptures, we have to act in the mission and our teaching. Not your little, you know, believe that. He was doesn't even touch him. Doesn't know. Being born from shroud of Torah, you know, make it big what Christian did, that's what Jews did, that's what many Hindus do, and Buddhas and Buddhists and all that, they're hanging into what they have. But God said, you should let go of those things and become a true seeker and know what the Word of God is. The Word of God is that, excuse me, the Word of God is there is seven revelations, seven angels, seven revealer will come, and each of them is a part of a greater revelation that will come at the end time. This is time of something, this is time of the end time. That is when eventually there good people only will be reincarnated again and again, and we will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. If not in this lifetime, maybe next or the next after, but we will do it. We will bring the kingdom of God on earth. We will bring the golden age. We will make humanity to recognize and realize this teaching and God's way, not man's way. Man's way is dogma. Man's way is narrow. Man's way is not expanded. Man's way is not based on the Word of God. The Word of God are in though, they are written down, they have been typed, they have been published, they have been put in internet. They are free, they are given to you to go, read, understand, seek the truth, and accept them as God said will happen. Again, go and recognize these words in a deeper level and understand that God truly exists, and he will bring his kingdom, and he will bound those who will not listen to this truth, and they will not be incarnated, and they will be gashing in darkness, and everybody should avoid that with all their heart, mind, and spirit, and recognize this teaching in the deepest level possible. Hello everybody, see you next week.